Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
And I'll tell you something, too. Following the boundary lines, it doesn't matter in there if you're a prostitute or you're not a prostitute or you're broke or you're rich or you're drunk or you're poor or you're murderer or anything else prior to coming into the boundary line. Prior to coming in. It doesn't matter. And once you get there, it doesn't matter either because you're there. It doesn't matter. People come to me and they'll say, do you know so-and-so in the movement does such and such? I'll say, don't talk to me. They'll say, why? I say, because you're a character assassinator. And you're committing a spiritual crime right now. You'd better run, because there's no help for you. The hounds of hell are on your track. They'll say, well, I just thought you... I said, look, I know who these people are. I know who they are. They are the children of God coming into light to go back home. Get out of the way. There'll be a bus for you a little later. There's not one person in this room that you can't throw mud in their face and make it stick. Once you did something that was not acceptable. Maybe you did it 5 times, so what the hell? Did you enjoy it? Did you get anything from it? Did you learn? Did you grow? Like, yeah, I did all of that. Then fine, you know, there's no need to repeat it. You've got all there is there. Go on to the next thing. You completed it. Go on. Don't try to go back into it because you're going to be disappointed because the other people have already gone on. It isn't going to work. You know, people in the movement sometimes live such a beautiful life. You stop and look around at it. Those not who are just here in the seminar, those who are in the movement of spiritual inner awareness, and that doesn't mean all of you who are present. And that doesn't mean all of you who've been here for the past year. It means those of you who are in that. In spite of everything, you're living a charmed life. And I can document it in 3 words, because you're here, right here in this room. Because you're here, you can do anything, but that's always from the spiritual level. You might say, well, but JR, my body. Fine, love your body. You're so busy bitching and complaining at it that it's doing things you don't want it to do. No wonder it's a rebellion. I'd rebel too. You have a right to be bald-headed. You have a right to be thin. You have a right to be depressed. Go ahead and enjoy your rights. You have a right to be tired when you've worked all day. You have a right to lay down and rest. You have a right to experience fear. You have a right to have depression. But you don't think so. I shouldn't feel depressed. People say to you, do you feel depressed? I say, what is that? They say, you know, and they describe it, and I say, sure. They say, well, that's depression. I said, I didn't know what that was. I thought that was peristaltic movement of the bowels. Why? Because my attitude says it's okay for me to feel that if I want to feel that. When I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. I have more fun. Because I realize my attitude is going to be the balance point of what's going to be working and what isn't. Some people in here, you got a lousy attitude, and you're going to hate this. And other people, the positive attitude, we could dump the garbage in here, and they would think, how fantastic, a new experience. I've never experienced that before. I'll be able to talk about this for months. You know, they come in, they dump garbage all over me. And I was laying there saying, bleh, garbage. And other people, you put them in a chair, very comfortable, prop their feet up, give them a glass of water and ice, and they'll sit by somebody who they don't like. I heard the wildest story about a man who wanted, he's very wealthy, very, very wealthy, very pessimistic. He wanted a boat 150 feet long to go sailing. He went down, the boat was 140 feet long. He came back in, they said, how did you enjoy your sail ride? He said, it wasn't any good. He says, the boat was 10 feet too short. He says, but that's okay, my life's been like that all along. Nothing's right. Somebody else says, let me crew on the boat with you. I'd love to. I'll go down and empty the garbage out for you. I'll scrub that down the decks later. Just let me get on the boat with you. And the other person says, gee, it's only 140 feet. Sun shining, 140 foot boat. Nice wind, 140 foot boat. I got money for 150 foot boat. And I can't wait to get inshore and get off this boat. What a lousy boat. Who made it? I want to badmouth them. People are like that. Sure, that's exaggerated, but that's okay. Pick your own level. You can put yourself in there. And once you put yourself in there, get yourself back out and say, hey, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be involved in that. My staff have such beautiful, absolutely smooth times, they don't work out any karma. And I come along and I say, oh, here comes this incident. We can work off, let's see, 2 lifetimes and 45 depressions and 3 upset stomachs in about 2 days. I'll take it. I go in the spirit and I say, hey, now look, we got the chance to wipe this all out in 2 days. They say, go. Next day I say, hey, dummy. And they say, oh! Say, yeah, but you agreed. You agreed. They said, but you didn't agree to call me dummy. I know, but if I called you anything else, it wouldn't kick it off. I had to do that one to get it going. Can you hang in it for 2 days? I don't know. And well, why don't you just go on and go about your business? I'll stick around. You're going to stick around, you got to shape up. Why don't you just say, hey, wow. 2 days, 45 depressions and 3 upset stomachs in 2 days? I'll take it. What a blessing I'm going to work in 2 days. And all I got to do is feel this? Yeah. Oh, easy. Lay it on. Say, I'll wait one more lifetime. It's all right. You're fired. Oh, don't do that. So I was just kidding, just to get the karma going. I wasn't going to hurt you. I was just going to pick you up and shake your brains loose and put them back straight. Did you really think that I would do something that would harm you?
Well, I thought you would.
No, that's your emotions. Nobody has to do anything that. You do it all by yourself. Well, I was thinking, I know, that's the problem. But I got real tight in the stomach. My bodies do that. I'm talking about you. It's kind of sobering. I say, well, that part can't be destroyed. I say, well, why'd you lose track of it? Last summer, I had some kids up at my house, relatives of mine. And the little girl had a glass of water, but she didn't know it, but the water wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was just more like warm water that had been left sitting there, and who knows what had been put in it. And she was getting ready to go, and I said, oh, no. And I wouldn't let her drink it. And she started crying. And I took it out of her hands. And she just whooped and hollered around there and stomped and kicked. I got amazed. I said, well, wait a minute. You don't know what's... So I just went over and got some ice and cold water and took it to her. I said, is this what you want? She was crying, so I put it on her hand and was like, oh, yeah, that's what I've done. I said, well, honey, the other water, and I explained to her, it was like, oh, yeah, now it's really nice of you to do that for me. I got what I wanted, like, but you thought that was what you wanted. That happens. Often, just so often, I think, good God, you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's going to happen, but that's got to be wrong. Why can't it be right? You had to take away from her that would make her sick to give her that that would make her good, but she complained so loud in the time, crying, that when she drank the cold water, it made her have hiccups. Yeah. I said, why'd you give her cold water? I said, you shouldn't give her cold water. I said, I'll give her that hot water that had stuff that would make her sick. At least she won't have the hiccups. They said, oh, we're glad you didn't give her that because we had been mixing stuff that had ammonia with it. Oh. I said, oh, I didn't know that. It must be diluted. They said, oh, that would just really probably scalded her mouth. I said, well, what would you rather have? She said, the hiccups aren't bad. They said, well, yeah, but look at the poor little thing. And I went, ah! And she went, said, so much for the hiccups. If you're going to complain about me to the hiccups, I'll get rid of them. Anything you want to complain to me about, I'm going to get rid of it. But my way. Of course, everybody then started laughing. And when she saw the joke, she just threw herself in my arms and, oh, you're such a good person. She was loving, kissed me. I thought, gee, I should do that all over again. This is so neat. They don't appreciate the good until they've had the bad, so give them a lot of bad. No, don't do that. Give them just enough so that they know the light and the love. Keep them just enough off balance that when you do something good, they appreciate it. It's called manipulation. But it works. It really does. How do you think we got this far? That's what they were doing to us all along. See, that's the thing we're talking about here. Somebody comes up to me and they say, oh, JR, my mother's sick and she's going to go to the hospital. Maybe she'll die. And I say, really? Another person comes up and says, gee, everything's fine. Everything's just really hunky-dory. I say, really? And they look at me and they say, what is it with you? I said, well, you can't be up all the time. So if I reinforce that, when you go down, then you're going to feel guilty. Nobody can feel guilty all the time, and if I go down to sympathize with you, you're going to move from that and wonder what I was doing, so why should I bother my head about it? Why don't I just treat them both the same? Because you're going to keep going back and forth across that all the time anyway, so when you say you're depressed, I say, hallelujah. You say, oh, I'm so good, I say, hallelujah. Anything you say, hallelujah. Why? Because it doesn't matter. I am supposed to come into your emotions with you and cry and bereave myself and get sick and end up in a bed ill because of you? Come on. You're doing it for both of us. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get involved in it. Would you? Would you really? Does God do it? Does God come down and say, all right, kid, you're in the muck and mire. Slide over, I'll jump in with you. We say, but don't you have compassion? Sure. You say you have a headache? I understand you have a headache. What am I supposed to do? Hold my head for you? I've had headaches. Told somebody once, I said, oh, I got this terrible smog headache. They said, gee, me too. You know, everybody gets these smog headaches. I said, it doesn't make my headache feel any better to know that everybody else has got a headache. I said, so that's the wrong approach. He said, what's the right approach? I said, there are no right approaches when you have a headache. There's only complaining. And I have a right to do that. I feel privileged that I can complain about that, and I'm going to. But you don't have to listen. You can go on about your business. You don't have to sit there and listen to it. And if I follow you around insisting, you don't have to take it. There's the door. When you go out, I'm going to lock it behind you. Oh, I know the games.
Sure.
It's called manipulate them. But in spite of all that, did it make the headache go away? Nope. Nope. When the smog lifted, the headache lifted. Some things are like that. When the situation lifts, it lifts. And complaining and screaming and crying will not make it lift. So I found out after that that I was not able to do a lot of things because I had a headache. So I said, hey, look, either I'm going to live in the headache, or I'm going to handle the headache, or I'm going to have to move, I'm going to have to do a lot of things. So I said, well, I think I'll just go ahead and live life anyway. I think I'll just get out and go do it anyway. I started moving around. My blood circulated faster. I started oxygenating air faster. Started doing a lot of things faster. Gee, I was just kicking that stuff out of my system as fast as it was coming in. And people saying, boy, it's sure smoggy today. And I say, it is? I don't have a headache. I wasn't aware. I say, well, don't your eyes burn? Yeah, but that doesn't really have to do with smog. A lot of things will make my eyes burn. I guess it is smog. Well, hallelujah, smog. Looked at it in a whole different vein. If we look at life through our pigeonhole of neglect, of pain, of jealousy, of lack, that's what we're going to put out. That's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to have. And that doesn't mean be a Pollyanna. It means correct what you can correct. And that you can't correct, get above it. And that you can't get above it, you endure to the end and you outlast it. Do you have any other choice? Complain. Does it make it go away? Mm-mm. No, now you're adding to yourself that you don't want. Out of the clear blue sky, you'll hear yourself complaining. And this is wrong, and that's wrong, and they didn't do this, and I thought you were going to do that, and you didn't do that, and now I thought you were going to do this, and you didn't do that. So? Am I supposed to go do it now because you thought I should? Is that where these things are? They've never been that way. If I go do it because I want to go do it, that's reason enough. And if I don't want to do it, and you start laying your trips on me, I'll leave. I'll still be there physically, and I'll still be there sexually, and I'll still be there emotionally, and I'll still be there mentally, but I'll leave. And you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's called zombie. They say, ha, funny you say, right? Funny. Say, did you enjoy the food? Great. One of the most classic lines that I heard once. It's my father. He pulled some of the funniest things I've ever heard. He and my mother were the original Harpo Marx or somebody. I think they stayed together because nobody else could understand the humor. But she had fixed this fine meal, and I knew it was a fine meal because she had told me so. I am fixing this great dinner, your dad's favorite dish, and all these things, and don't you get in my way, and stay out of the kitchen till we're through, and no eating beforehand, and all the rules. It was like, well, okay, fine. So we all sit down, we're all eating very good, we get almost to the end, almost to the end. That end means you wipe your mouth off with your hanky and you put it down. And my dad was there with the hanky in his hand. My mother turned to him. She says, "Well, honey, how'd you like the dinner?" He says, "Hell, I don't know. I didn't even taste it." Wiped his mouth and put it down and left. And she just looked at him. She says, "Can you believe a man like that? Can you believe somebody would do that?" And I said, "Yes. Yes, I can believe that." She said, "Do you think he didn't taste it?" She went in there after, she said, "Did you or did you not taste the meal?" He said, "Well, honey, let me think about it for a minute." "No thinking about it. Did you or did you not enjoy the meal?" Well, my dad was no dummy. "Of course. Of course." She says, "Yes, I enjoyed it." She says, "I don't believe you." And he just started laughing. And I was standing in the hallway out of throwing distance or anything. I could hear okay and laugh. I could participate from a distance. Because my mother, she'd be one to pick up something and go, accurate. She wouldn't even have to look. And my dad just looked in there. He says, "Whatever you do," he says, marry a woman just like a woman, just like your mother." He says, "Don't settle for anything else." And I said, "Why?" He says, "Well, son, she'll either drive you crazy and you won't know what's going on anyway, or you won't know what's coming next and it'll be just so exciting you can't stand it." I said, "Is there another one like her around?" He says, "Nope." I said, "Oh, then you've condemned me to an existence of searching." And he looked at me like I raised a fool. I remember years after I'd say something, I said, "Look, my dad didn't raise a fool," and I remember that look. Then I think, well, foolish at times, foolish. I would concede a point. Now, I have to concede the fool, too. I have to say, yeah, but I'm fun. I'm fun. A lot of fun. Have you ever been anyplace else that you can hear the spiritual truths presented in a way that you don't forget them? And have fun? I tell you, all these things that you're doing, they're just sending you straight to hell, and you laugh and kid and think, how funny. Then you smell the sulfur and you say, hey, hey. It's like, don't get excited, because even in the 11th hour, you can get out of it. And what's that? You just change your attitude. Just change. So simple. Man said to me the other day, he said, "Well, what do you do with the failure?" And I looked at him. I don't remember the exact words, but I can give you the idea. I said, "You're not a failure until you don't do it. If you don't try, then you're a failure." I said, "The guy who invented the light bulb knows 1,000 ways of how not to do it. But none of those were failures. They were stepping stones to how to do it. When you go to write a song and you don't write the first time, that doesn't mean you're a failure. But if you put the instrument down and you don't do it again, you failed. Right there. And if it takes you 100 times to write the song, it's 100 steps of progression. You get what I'm talking about here? You keep at it. Some people say, oh, I failed, I didn't write my book. I say, have you written a word? Say, no. I say, you failed. Write one word. I say, well, I'll probably write 3 or 4. Go ahead. Here's a pencil. Here's a paper. Start it right now. Start your way to success. Right now. And there are people that I've worked with that have written books, and they said, it started right out with them handing me a pencil and a paper, saying, start right now. Right now. And they said, what will I write? Write that. What will I write? Write anything. They'll say, I might not use that. That's okay. You don't have to use everything that's given to you. You don't have to use everything you hear. You don't have to use anything that doesn't work for you. You can discard it. Do you understand that? You don't have to believe everything that's told to you. None of that. And you can take it and use it as you want to, at your own rate. But don't declare yourself a failure until you do nothing. A person told me, they said, "Oh, I'm so depressed." I said, "Why?" And they said, "Because I'm a failure." I said, "Well, you're not a failure. You're good at depression." They looked at me and said, "Oh, more you, more your philosophy." I said, "You're good at it." I said, "But I am better at giving joy than you are at keeping depression." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "See, you're already changing. You're not even good at depression. But you're not a failure. You're just not good at it yet. Keep at it. Work on your depression. Get it so great, nobody will be able to destroy it for you." See, who'd want that? You. You didn't want it. Why were you doing if you didn't? Why were you doing that if you didn't want that? I thought you wanted it. And because you wanted it, I was going to help you keep in it and get it good. You didn't want it? Oh, my God. How do I know what you want and what you don't want? How am I to know? Beirush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.